It is the Pens Universe podcast, and one of the few highlights from last night there. You got to enjoy. This is Doug Smith. I'm joined by Corey and Nicole, and I'm not sure. We're waiting our esteemed captain. We're behind the scenes thinking about some trade possibilities, but hopefully Damian will be joining us. So Nicole, Corey, thanks again for hopping on here.
Hashtag trade Jagermeister. just throwing it out there.
Yeah, get it trending.
That's right. I want to see that trending in Pittsburgh tomorrow when everybody's listening to this.
that would be fun, but we'll see. I'll have to try to remember to do that myself.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, jumping right into it, folks, we guess we finally have a season. That's the one big thing to talk about. But three games in, the Pens are 2-1. They beat the Flyers in Philly 3-1 on NBC Saturday afternoon. One of the first games of the season, you know, following the first 8 or so minutes of the Kings game in which they got trounced. Then went to New York and won 6-3, and then last night was last night. So, takeaways from the first three games, anything that stuck out with you, Nicole, or anything you'd like to see change just from the first three games of this shortened season?
The first two games, I was pretty impressed with the Pens, their fast start. Gino especially, I know with him being over in the KHL, he's been playing a lot longer than most of the guys, but I was really impressed with his defensive play in the first two games, give or take the gap that led to the Rick Nash goal. But we're used to Gino doing his thing, but at times he can be a bit lazy. And so I was pretty impressed to see him actually go out there, get the back check going, creating chances and whatnot. Of course, James Neal, he continues to dominate. It's like there was never a lockout for him. He's just picking up where he left off. Of course, we can go on and on about Tangrady, but I don't know if people want to hear us talk about Tangrady anymore.
I think we
that
might.
Name that, does not ring a bell.
That might be forced into the conversation. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Yeah, so, I mean, last night's game was it's Toronto, and they always seem to pull a quick one on the Pens, no matter what time of the season. It's always like, okay, it's Toronto, big deal, and then they come here and they wipe the ice with us. So I guess that was their game.
Corey, what do you think about the first three?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing to take away from Toronto, because they definitely have speed. I mean, it was on display last night, but the Penguins are just notorious for getting pumped up for big games, divisional games, capital games, things like that. But, you know, when a not top-tier team like a Toronto comes into your house, you don't turn the knob all the way to 10 when you're out there on the ice, and it showed last night. They just looked – they looked out of it. The fans looked out of it. I don't know. It was not the home opener, I think, that Bylsma and everybody was looking forward to last night. But I think it's definitely good, the fact that they're going back on the road to the North Pole in Winnipeg. If you saw the photo online that the Penguins posted, I think it was Facebook, it looks like they landed. They landed in the North Pole. It looks balmy. I'm for the most part, I mean, if you give them a grade for the first three games, I'd say B+. I saw a lot of positives. I saw some good stuff on the power play, some good hits, some young guys stepping up and finding passing lanes, Dupre especially. Definitely still room for improvement, and this is, a team where they need to learn that they need to play 60 minutes each and every night, or, it's not going to turn out the way they want.
Yeah, I mean, I think the speed of Toronto continues to haunt the Penguins. Although one goal by James Van Riemsdyk was basically just Gino saying, "Here you go, you can score." And so I, you know, you can't fault Fleury on that one at all. The Englund and Orr fight, you know, I guess it was coming. I don't know why it needed to be part of it. I don't know why the Tanner Glass and Aaron Ashram had to fight the other day in New York. I was thinking that we would see less fights going on. That's something I've noticed, that, you know, there's already been a few staged fights around the league. But, you know, I guess you can't necessarily be too upset that they're 2-1. I mean, the last time they started 3-0 was the last was also a lockout shortened season. And so if you consider the fact that they're 2-1 and some of the other teams are still looking for their first win, you know, including the Kings, the defending Stanley Cup champions there, the fact that Philadelphia has not found a win yet, Carolina, Washington, I mean, you're looking at a bunch of teams that really needed to get off to a hot start, and you thought they might, and the Penguins have done pretty well just in that short time that the season's been back upon us here. So you brought it up, Nicole, so I got to say it. Well, obviously, I think there's been some discussion about Tangrady, and Corey wrote a post and got, once again, Corey, you are the king of finding people to troll you back on comments. Although I will say, the last person that actually commented actually did have a name rather than just being anonymous.
Anonymous, right.
So that was good. But, you know, Tangrady, I guess, is a question mark. I mean, or have we seen enough of him on the second line? And then are there any other players you're a little worried about, a little skeptical about, Corey?
Well, I think it's clear now that the Tangrady experiment, you know, it might not be over, but it's certainly, I think, on its last leg. The fact that today he gets dropped down to the fourth line, I think Bylsma and the coaching staff has just seen enough. I think Malkin's seen enough. There was a still shot from the game last night that I saw online after, I believe it was his giveaway, or no, I take it back, I think it was Dupre's giveaway up against the boards, passed it to Neil, and Neil kind of got pinched, and it was a quick break back. I think this was the one that made it 3-2, if I remember right. And there's a shot where Malkin's kind of looking over his shoulder and looking at Tangrady, and Malkin's making this face like, you got to be kidding me. And I think that pretty much just sums up how everybody's pretty much had it enough with him and trying to make it work on the second line. I kind of hate the fact that he's on the fourth line, because I thought the Vitaly, Adams, and Glass line was definitely clicking the past couple of games. So it's kind of tough to see that one broken up. But I think if it gives Malkin and Neil the extra forward and offense that they need up there on that line, and not just some body floating around, you know, well, hopefully it works. I mean, it's Kennedy, so you know he'll shoot, and hopefully Neil and Malkin can get a rebound.
Well, Nicole, is there anybody that you are a little bit concerned about right now as you're seeing the lineups, how they're shaking out?
I'm not really concerned other than Tangrady. I mean, that the Malkin Neil Tangrady line is essentially a two-man line with Gino and James Neal. But I, like Corey said, I was a little bit disappointed seeing the lines getting switched so much. And I think it was Damian last night, or where he tweeted something to the fact of the Dan Bylsma every shift he was shuffling. And I thought that was funny, because there's a lot of fans that talk about that, about how DB does a lot of shuffling with his lines, and it's like, when are you going to give them some sort of time to get going together, get a click going together? And then once they do, it's, you know, it's switched up. And we had a pretty animated fan on Penn's Universe's Facebook page talking about how he believed that Sid convinced the coaches to split up the Kunitz, Neil, Malkin line, because he wanted Kunitz on his line, and all this other stuff. But and that's the case. I don't believe that's the case at all. I don't think Sid would be going in to coach me like, listen, this is the guy I want on my line. And it's, I don't really think he has or would do that. But, you know, whatever DB thinks is going to work, then, I mean, he's out there in practice with them every day. He knows their tendencies more than what we, you know, see. So I guess we have to trust his judgment, but sometimes you got to scratch your head.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to try and get the boss man here involved in the call here. One second here while we try to get Damien.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Damien, we are discussing now that you've been able to join us here. Let me try and get the two calls going here. All right. So, Damien is on, and luckily I have got to the point where now I have to switch back and forth between you two, so that's awesome. Give me one second, folks. All right, so Damien, are you there?
I sure am.
All right, so I'm going to give you the chance to answer the questions we were talking about so far today. Just what's your thoughts after the first three games of the season? What have you seen? What have you enjoyed? And then, you know, is there anything in particular that you are looking to see changed now that we've seen three games?
Well, the things that I liked, I would say in the first two games was a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, loved the way Gino comes out, just falls to the wall and does his thing. And I think a lot of the guys, you know, themselves, individually did really well. I mean, a lot could be said for what Kunitz is doing. Obviously, there's a lot to be said for Sid. He has a lot of intangibles, despite not really scoring and whatnot. He does so much without the, you know, outside of the puck as well. He just knows where to be. Mm-hmm. Fleury, I think, is having a really good couple starts as well, despite, you know, a couple of flounders. But I think in the Toronto game, that was just a matter of not really having anybody in front of him. I'd say what I'd like to see changed is sort of what Bylsma did, at least from the first thing that I've seen by going to the Penguins website, which was, in fact, shuffling the lines. Now, I don't necessarily like the shuffling of the lines. As my comment on Twitter yesterday, he's always shuffling. But I would say that he needs to stay consistent. So if there's any change I'd like to see, is a little consistency. Now, granted, you know, we're coming off a half a year, and we're coming off you know, missed and a little less time for them to be able to mash up. But at the same time, most of the lines are the same. And the third line is surprisingly doing, you know, with Cook, Sutter, who's also impressing me as well, and Kennedy seem to fit kind of right in that third line mold. So I think they're sort of good, but, you know, it's that second spot. Now we need a winger for Malkin, and we keep talking about the one for Sid in the past. We need one for Malkin, so, you know, and Neil, of course. But at the same time, you know, for him to put Tangrei there is I think the answers all our questions, that he's just not going to fit there. So I just like to see a little more consistency. And quite honestly, I don't even know if Tangrei is a fourth liner. You know, I think his talent-wise, you were expecting him to be a second-line guy, but I just don't think he's even, at this point, fits into our fourth line. So I think it'd be interesting to see what Bilesman's going to do in the next couple of games. And you know, I think last night they were just outplayed. You know, I think they were Toronto did a really good job at exploiting you know, a couple of the lazy passes, particularly one by Malkin and Tangrady. And you know, then they just knew how to shut us down, and then we got frustrated, and clearly Malkin did at the end, and they just didn't put it together.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I think, you know, we've kind of all alluded to the change in lines here. So, you know, just to go back with that, you know, everyone has mentioned it here, but, you know, obviously Tangrady has been taken off the second line, and he is now sitting on the fourth line, and who's to say whether or not, you know, he's going to stay there. There is a chance that you know, maybe not, he wouldn't be there. Maybe perhaps even somebody like Dustin Jeffrey would be back in there. So sorry, we got everybody's back on the line here, but you know, just we posted the information about the new lines that were, you know, were on the ice today during throwing practice, and obviously you got Glass with the third line there, with Kennedy moving up, and you know, some of the reactions out there. Some Eric L was pretty adamant about TK not being a top six forward. Jason once brought Bo Bennett up, so he's obviously been in touch with Corey on that one. Alicia was hoping to give Tanner Glass a chance with Gino and Neil. I'm not sure I see that one, but, you know, at this point in time, it is kind of about the adjustments. As Nicole mentioned, you know, perhaps there was some, you know, someone saying that Sid said Kunitz needed to be on his line. I'm not sure that was, you know, that's exactly what needed to happen. But, you know, we've already talked about Tangrady obviously being moved down, and then TK up on the second line. He's going to shoot a lot. But, you know, what are your thoughts on Tanner Glass being moved up to third line? Damian, we'll start with you.
Up to the third line or the second line?
Third line for Tanner Glass.
Third line, I don't see that as all that bad. I mean, he seems to be a high energy guy, and he's not, you know, he's not a guy. You know, certainly being a wing, you know, it's kind of tough to say. Do you want to move up some of the guys who might fit a little bit better, like, you know, I think like you said, Vitaly, and maybe even Dustin Jeffries. But you know, you're not going to put Craig Adams in that position. He just doesn't have it. You know, what it takes to be a potential scorer. Tanner Glass, you know, I didn't know much about him prior to him coming to the Penguins, but from what I've seen, he's not just a grinder. So, you know, I don't know how well his hands are, and I don't know how well he would work on the fly, because that's something that clearly Cook is very good at. You know, just adjusting his game to, and you know, Sutter is a guy who seems to like. I mean, he really is like a right-handed Jordan Staal. He really reminds me. He's tough to move off the puck. He's tall. He likes to kill penalties, and you know, he's probably better even on the draw. So, but you know, he likes to get up ice, and I don't know that Tanner Glass can fill that role. But it, you know, I guess it's worth giving it a shot if Bilesman feels like he can really make that move.
Yeah, Nicole, do you see Tangrady even staying on the fourth line, or do you think he's, you know, just working his way out of the lineup?
At this point, I think he's working his way out of the lineup, and you got to feel for the guy. I know you see a lot of the times he's out there, he's working hard, but he still looks lost. It's like overwhelming for him to be out there, and I sort of compared this to when we were in Wheeling a couple weekends ago. Kevin Bayou had gotten sent down, and his first game was that Friday night, and we stayed for the weekend, and Friday night he was just completely, you know, just out on the ice, didn't look like he knew how to play his position at all. And then gradually by Sunday afternoon, he's out there making plays. You know, it seemed like he's been on, you know, on the team in his line for the entire season. So I thought maybe, okay, Tangrady, this is your chance, you know, warm up the legs a little bit, but he hasn't really clicked at all.
Yeah, it's hard to really argue that point. So, Corey, we'll give you the last say in the Tangrady argument. Should he even be playing? What do you think? Is it Bo Bennett's time? What do you got?
To be honest, I mean, for as long as he's been in the organization and you know, running the same system since Biles has been here, I really don't see any harm in, you know, sending him down and let him run through the waiver line. To be honest, I'd be surprised if anybody did pick him up. I think he's not doing you any good on the second line. He's not doing you any good, not nearly racking up 5 minutes of ice time. You know, it's you need it doesn't make sense to keep a guy like him who's performing the way he is on your roster. I mean, not even on your roster, on any of your four lines. It doesn't make sense. And, you know, Shiro's got to let him go. He's got to let this Tangrady thing go. I mean, it's really, I don't want to say it's holding back. It's clearly not holding back Gino and Malkin. But, I mean, less than 5 minutes of time is just ridiculous. I mean, that's adding more ice time to guys on the team. I say send him down, see what happens in the waiver line. If somebody picks him up, you know, I mean, hopefully he figures out how to play, because he's clearly not showing it right now.
Yeah, and I mean, there could be some more moves coming here, and you know, the Pens did make a couple minor deals today, and they acquired Chad Kolarik in exchange for Ben Ferraro today. I mean, for those of you not sure about Kolarik, he actually makes the trade over to Wilkes-Barre and becomes the top scorer on the team by default. He has 16 goals so far in this season, which will now top Paul Thompson, who scored the overtime game winner in the outdoor game the other day for the Baby Pens. So, you know, Kolarik, was that move made to potentially see him get some ice time with the big club, or, you know, just fill in some space? Who knows? Not too much of a big buzz of a trade. I mean, Nicole, do you have any insight on the trade here, the trades that were made today?
I think it's going to help out Wilkes-Barre. I was a little bit, not stunned, but the Carl Schneep trade, I thought they could have gotten more for him. The draft pick, I thought, was a little bit low. Also, with Wheeling, this past weekend they were in Orlando, they played with four defensemen. So I saw a lot of Nailers fans a little bit riled up about, you know, the Pens trading away defensemen when they're down there with only four. So, I mean, they brought – and Wilkes-Barre also signed Mark Eaton to a PTO, as well as Tom Kostopoulos to a PTO. So it's – yeah, I don't know. Maybe Shira has something up his sleeve. Who knows?
Obviously does, I would imagine. But, you know, I for one am excited about Mark Eaton, but yes. I'm probably the only one. I don't know. Just as a kind of a side note out there, I mean, for those of you that – might not be able to peruse the Penguins notes every day. You know, they kind of give you the rundown of the day, give you some videos and, you know, what they call the Penguins report, every day. And, I would say if you ever get a chance or have some free time out there to not only peruse that, but actually peruse the comments section of the Penguins report, because it's pure entertainment. For instance, 6 minutes ago, somebody posted something about, I bet Garth Snow would take Pat Killian for Nino Niederreiter. We're going to do that. We had somebody with a Jets emblem write, -35 on Friday, welcome to Winnipeg, Cindy. So, that, you know, then we had somebody else write, where was Dustin Jeffries? Nothing on him being sent down. And then immediately followed, learning the player's name before commenting. Thanks, Pens fans everywhere. So, like I said, pure entertainment going on there. But I digress. So let's look ahead here, if we can. The next few games, obviously, you know, shortened schedule, so everything's kind of shoved in there together. But the next games will take place, obviously, in Winnipeg tomorrow night, and then going to Ottawa. So you go from one side of Canada to the other. And then Tuesday, the Penguins return home to face the lovely Islanders, who will kind of look like a whole different team from last year. The Jets right now actually are 1-1-1, and they did not win their only game they had at home. The Senators, you know, you kind of never know what you're going to get there, but they are 2-0 right now. And then the Islanders are 1-1 as we speak. And they are actually losing to Toronto 3-2 at the current moment. Ottawa is tied 1-1 at the moment. So looking ahead there, if you want to break these all down, Corey, I mean, Jets, Senators, Islanders, how do you see the Pens faring in those three games?
It'll definitely be a nice, hopefully, trip back to reality here for the Penguins after coming home and getting kind of shell-shocked with the Leafs. But I like that you're going against a couple goaltenders here that are pretty fragile, and if you get to them early, you know, the Pens should stand a chance to come out with hopefully 4 points out of this little Canadian swing that they're going on here. But I, for whatever reason, I know that they're trying to, you know, with the compressed schedule, a Sunday, I guess you would call it a late afternoon, early evening game, a 5 p.m. start just sounds really weird. And I've never been a fan of early hockey or, you know, like the Sunday 12 o'clock starts. It's just, to me, I think hockey's it's always a night thing. I guess you can make the excuse for the Winter Classic, but it's just a weird start time. That's just me. I think the Penguins, you know, need this road trip to gather their thoughts and figure out, you know, again, what it's like to play Penguin hockey. And I think they'll come home with 4 points.
All right. Well, there's course predictions. Damien, do you have anything different to say? Any of the games stick out as the most interesting to you?
Well, I mean, I guess maybe the Islanders might be an interesting game just because of our history. But, you know, the Jets and the Senators, I mean, it's hard to say what you're going to, you know, what you're going to get. They're two kind of unpredictable teams. The Senators sometimes look like, you know, Stanley Cup champions, and, you know, their inconsistencies of dropping like 3 games in a row is also pretty accustomed for them. So it should be interesting to see, you know, how that works out. It'll give the Penguins a good, you know, chance to go against, you know, a couple of Canadian teams. That I will agree to Corey's point, that is definitely weird, a 5 o'clock game. I don't even know what to say about that, but, you know, it is what it is. I guess it's better it's on 5 than late night for my Sunday night shows, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess it's you know, these aren't like rival games or anything like that. They're not, you know, it's not like the Flyers or anything like that. So it should be interesting. Hopefully, we don't find any flounders like we did in the Maple Leafs game. But you know, it's kind of unpredictable when you see teams like this, and you know, I just hope that they can pull out a couple of points, and I'd like to see in the next 2-3 games pull out at least 4, you know, go 2-1 just like they did in the first 3.
Yeah, sounds good. Nicole, how do you think the Pens will fare? Do you think they'll win them all, and who's going to be the leading scorer in the next 3? Throw that out at you.
Well, first off, I hope we play some defense against Winnipeg, because it always seems like they forget how to play defense against either Atlanta or / Winnipeg. But I think Pascal Dupuy, he's been under the radar. You know, he's got a lot of helpers, so usually he does well when we go into Ottawa, and Tyler Kennedy as well. So hopefully those two guys. But I'm thinking Pascal's going to have a big weekend, 3-game stretch here. Coming home from the Islanders, it might be another test for them. Who knows? You know, they'll go on the road, and maybe they'll win both games in Canada, come back and hopefully not think, but hey, it's the Islanders. But we'll see. We'll see what this team is made out of.
I suppose we will. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I think when you're trying to handicap these games, right now it's a little tough given the shortened season and the fact that, you know, some teams are still getting going. I mean, if you think about Toronto, who just played, by the way, Nicole's prediction for the Eastern Conference Final still well alive. But, you know, they started out their first game with a bunch of guys from the AHL, lots of youngsters. Obviously, Nassim Kadri had a hand in yesterday's win as well. And, I mean, these are guys that have been playing. And so, you know, they've been pretty, should be pretty accustomed to be on the ice. If you look at a team like the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, they sent a lot of their guys to the AHL and they were playing down there. So, I mean, these are teams that should know what's going on. Before we get into talking about the all-time shootout statistics, which I found interesting this week, want to kind of go around the league a little bit. As we sit right now with 3:13 left in the second, obviously when everyone listens to this, the game will be over. But Montreal is beating Washington 3-0, which would mean Washington would fall to 0-3 if that stands. And tonight they started out with a top line of Wojtek Volski, Nicholas Backstrom, and Alex Ovechkin, meaning Alex Ovechkin was on the right wing, allowing Volski to play his natural position, not Ovechkin. Damien, find that interesting at all?
Well, for him to just to the non-star player. That certainly doesn't seem a whole lot of sense. I mean, you certainly wouldn't put Crosby at the left wing just for the sake of, you know, I know it's not the best comparison, but you wouldn't do it for Kunitz or something. You know what I mean? If the roles reverse. So I think Washington's desperate, man. I think they're trying to do anything they can, and it's not the best thing for them to do in a shortened season, unless they just don't have hopes for, you know, playoff hopes and just say, okay, we're sort of just going to squander the season and see what fits. Mm-hmm. But that does certainly sounds like a really strange move for them to do.
Yeah. Corey, I'll give you this one. Looks like Scotty Hartnell's out 48 weeks with a broken foot, and because of that, it looks like Mike Knuble is going to be signing with the Flyers. You know, maybe they are kind of not necessarily together, but Mike Knuble, who obviously has a history with playing with the Capitals, went to training camp with the Detroit Red Wings but did not make the team and signed a tryout deal with the Grand Rapids. Now, signing with the Flyers. Do you care? Does it matter? Do you hate him just as much?
I think it's just the Flyers looking for some grit because they clearly don't have it. Mm-hmm. He's available. I don't know what – I mean, the signing was tonight. I don't know what the details are, but my guess is, you know, it's a bargain. He's familiar with the franchise. He'll probably he'll probably make an impact for him. I don't know if signing Mike Knuble is going to be the answer. I think the answer right now for Philly is their blue line. They need to really figure out what's going on there. Briz looks lost. It looks like he's in a forest full of bears. In health, I mean, you know, it's Hartnell's out, Briere's still out. They got a lot of issues they got to figure out if they're going to make a run.
Yeah. Currently, Flyers are beating the Rangers 1-0 off a goal by Wayne Simmonds. So there's that for whatever it's worth. Nicole, I'll turn to you for this one. The NHL tweeted something last week before the season started about are Canucks fans excited about Corey Schneider being the number one goalie, and to which Roberto Luongo replied, "Can't wait." Turns out, first game of the season, Schneider gets pulled, Luongo gets brought in. Irony there. Were you laughing? Do you think the Canucks are just a mess? What do you got?
Yeah, that's irony for sure. The Canucks are, they're a mess. Luongo, it seems as though, well, that could be just the way he's playing on Twitter, mm-hmm. but it seems as though he's taking his job as a joke. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Luongo being traded. You know, Toronto is in the mix, and then the Flyers were in the mix. Of course, the Flyers are always in the mix for when there's talks of, you know, higher-end guys getting traded. But it's his career. If he wants to be a laughingstock, then he can go ahead and be a laughingstock. But, you know, that's Vancouver. They have fairly decent defense, and then, you know, you get to their netminders and you're like, okay, they're supposed to be good, and then they let up a lot of softies, and then you have Luongo, who is noted for choking in the playoffs, so, you know, that's their beef, I guess.
Yeah. Well, just this, I found this interesting, you know, there's just looking at the shootout percentages and stats out there. Since it's reinception, I guess, if you will. But if we look at the Penguins as a team, since the shootout has been used, they have the tied for second most wins, shootout wins with 51. They're tied with Dallas. They are only trailing the New Jersey Devils. They also have, they're 51-30. They have 30 losses in the shootout as well. And as far as road shootout wins go, they're pretty much on top of that list as well with 29. They are tied with the Dallas Stars on that one with 29 wins, followed by Colorado and the New York Rangers. Marc-Andre Fleury is at the top, second in shootout wins behind Henrik Lundqvist. Now, when it comes to active skaters, this will be no surprise to everybody, but Chris Letang leads all defensemen in shootout goals and attempts. And the person that has scored the most shootout goals is somebody that you could probably guess, so I'll give Corey a chance. Who do you think has scored the most shootout goals with 31? Anybody?
I don't know.
You don't know? Anyone venture a guess out there? Damien, what do you got?
Is this in the NHL or just for the Pens?
NHL. Total NHL.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'm just going to go with Sid just for the sake of it.
No.
Certainly not an interesting stat for you to bring up to begin with. So if it would be Sid, you'd be like, oh, it's just the Penguins.
Boy. Yeah. Nicole, you got any thoughts? It is. All right, so I've stumped the crowd. So the player that leads in shootout goals is Pavel Datsyuk with 31, followed by Jussi Jokinen with 30, Zach Parise with 29, Brad Boyce 29, Radim Vrbata with 28, Miku Koivu 27, Rick Nash 26, Brad Richards 26. The first Penguin you get is actually Sidney Crosby with 21. He is slotted into the 17th position. Number 24, your Minnesota Wild center, Matt Cullen, comes in with 19 goals at a rate of 40% conversion, believe it or not. But nevertheless, Penguins have obviously capitalized on the shootout, but the shootout is obviously criticized often for a way to finish a game. So, Corey, I come to you. Two-part question for everybody after giving all those stats. Does it really seem to you like the Penguins have capitalized on that many shootout opportunities? And does that make you more confident about the season ahead, given it's a short season? Corey.
I would say that, I mean, starting with the fact that it's a shortened season, I think you have the potential for games to be closer because maybe you get, you know, tired legs, back-to-back games, less scoring maybe, or maybe more scoring opportunities where you get, you know, some 5-5 games or something like that. Personally, I'm a fan of the shootouts, and I think in the past they've gone favorably for the Penguins. I think that with guys like Letang especially, every once in a while, Malkin turns your head, but I think when the opportunity presents itself for the Penguins to make sure they get that extra point after overtime, I see them in a very favorable position to walk out with that extra point.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, let me just first correct myself. I said Marc-Andre Fleury was second in wins. He's actually third behind Brodeur and Lundqvist, but ask you the same questions. I mean, does it surprise you that the Penguins have been so successful in the shootout, and do you think that's really going to impact where they finish at the end of the year?
I'm not really surprised. We have a lot of good shooters. As far as the impact, I mean, if it comes down to it, I think we usually have the upper hand. You know, we always see last season, for whatever reason it was, before the shootout, Marc-Andre Fleury got straight over to Craig Adams, and it was like either a pep talk or Adsy does his homework before each game or something, tells Marc-Andre tendencies of some of the guys. But if the Pens were to go in the shootout, I feel fairly confident about them winning it, getting that extra point. You know, Letang is one of our better guys when he feels, you know, on beat with that. Pascal Dupuis and Kunitz sometimes gets his moment of glory there. But, yeah, they get it done.
For sure. Damien, I will kind of flip the script on you a little bit. But if you have to pick a shootout lineup, and let's, for the sake of things, say that it has to go to five shooters, who do you pick for your five right now?
I would probably go with Letang, Malkin, Crosby, Dupuis, and maybe Kunitz. Now, that's excluding Brandon Sutter because I don't know his ability. You you'd think I might know just because I'm down here, but I don't. That's probably who I would go with respect to that. But, you know, in terms of answering the questions of what they were answering, I think it does favor the Penguins. And I know people are criticize it because of its, you know, does it really answer the question of the actual game itself? You know, I mean, I actually love it. I enjoy it. It's one of the few things my wife likes about hockey is a shootout because it's just exciting. But I think it does work in the Penguins' favor because as far as I know, and I believe you just said that it, you know, statistically it helps them point-wise. And, I mean, really, you got to look at every game as if it's two games. You know, you win one game, it's like you won two games in a shortened half season. And a loss, you know, it's funny how everybody took the loss yesterday. I mean, at least on Twitter, of course, that's my real touch points, and even Facebook as well, you know, crowdsourcing. You know, you really get the reaction from people, and it's amazing how critical we get of one loss. And I know it's to the Leafs, and I know it was 5-2, and it just looked like the Penguins got radically discouraged. And, you know, then, you know, a lot of people made fun of their ability, you know, trade this guy, trade that guy, fire a coach, just all that stuff, all the fun we get to have. But you know, sometimes I think we get so – Penguins fans, man, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's hockey fans in general, just get frantic on losses. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, I really don't think there's a whole lot you have to change. And I do agree with Pierre LeBrun that from ESPN that, you know, this shortened season is going to come to depth. You know, that's what it's going to come down. It's going to come down to depth. And I'm afraid the Penguins don't have the depth that they would like. But at the same time, I don't think a lot of teams are all that deep at this point. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how everybody fares. And, you know, injuries are going to play a huge role in it. Because, you know, being out a week or being out 2 weeks, I mean, you lost, you know, Scott Hartnell out 4 to 6 weeks. You might as well say he's out four. You know, that's like saying he's out, you know, up 3-4 months in the regular season. So that's huge. And that could right there just determine the Flyer season. Mm-hmm. I don't think Knubel's going to really come in and do, you know, fill that role as well as Hartnell, as much as I dislike Hartnell. But he, you know, he does fill a heck of a role there in Philly. So, but, you know, we shall see. I obviously went off on a tangent there.
That's why we like you, Damien. the last point on the shootout before we wrap this up is that there are only 8 goalies ahead of Marc-Andre Fleury in save percentage at home in the shootout. And let me run through those 8 goalies. Michael Layton, Anders Lindback, Thomas Greiss, Corey Crawford, Josh Harding, Antti Niemi, Johan Hedberg, and Danny Sabourin. Obviously not starting goalies, which says a lot. So Fleury is kind of even pumps himself up even more at home for that shootout. But before we wrap it up here, just kind of around the league again real quick, even though these will be stopping, these will be over before you probably listen to this, but how does Mike Ribeiro feel about being a Washington Capital now that they could go 2-0-3, losing 4-0 to Montreal, giving up 4 goals in the second period alone? I can only imagine. Damien, you might hear some Canes fans tonight because it looks like they might get their first win on the season. You know, so if they, yeah, you have to go really close to the arena to hear them, though. sorry, I didn't say that. Anyway, and then the Flyers have opened up a 2-0 lead on the Rangers. The Flyers and the Rangers, battle of the basement. Who would have known? Anyway, so next week when we rejoin you, hopefully it'll be next week, we will obviously recap the 3 games and hopefully everyone's shooting for at least 4 points, it looks like, out of these next 3 games, which, you know, that obviously would be great and keep the Pens very high up there. I mean, you think about the fact that it is a shortened season, how everything is so much more multiplied with every win that comes through. But as always, we appreciate you listening, and we appreciate the fact that you give us good banter on the website and on Facebook and Twitter. We love the comments on the website. For me, I enjoy those because they pop right up into my inbox, and I get to listen to all the things you folks are saying, and that's always fun for me. So, unless anybody has any parting shots, we're going to wrap up the Pens Universe podcast for today.
I'll say one thing.
Yes.
Got to give love to the British Penguin fan club, evidently, who's following us on Twitter.
There we go. Love to the British Penguin fan club. They are everywhere. So we will join you again hopefully soon, and let us know if there's any comments, questions, concerns that you'd like us to address on the podcast. For now, this is Doug signing off for Corey, Damien, and Nicole. We'll talk to you again soon.